Walk Now, as we refer to it as 10cc, and we're getting ready to kick off college football, and I've asked Paul Crane to join us. Paul, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, John, my pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk about college football.
And Paul, of course, with the Versus Network, FSN South, you picked the network. He probably does something for them.
Don't forget my friends at Cox Sports Television. We're doing a lot of work with college football, in particular at CST, but I appreciate that.
Not a problem, buddy. Now, if Paul and I sound a little road weary, that's because we spent the week chasing down some college football stories. Paul was in San Antonio, Texas for the Big 12 Media Days. I was in Pinehurst, North Carolina for the ACC Media Days, and then I went on to Birmingham, Alabama for the SEC Media Days. So we're going to take some time now to talk about that, and we're going to devote this segment to the SEC. And, Paul, the one thing that I kind of noticed from SEC was your good friend Steve Spurrier. This is really the first time since he's been at South Carolina that he acted like he did when he was at Florida. He had that cockiness back. He got his digs in every now and then, ever so subtle. But because of his demeanor and how he feels about the South Carolina football team for 2007, I went ahead and voted South Carolina to win the East. You've been around longer than I have. When he has that demeanor back, does the SEC need to watch out?
Well, I think the SEC East in particular needs to watch out anyway. Because of Coach Spurrier, his return. But I think this is the year for him to feel that way for many reasons. Not only is his team in the third year under his scheme and everyone's kind of getting it, but I think the SEC East, he may view it as being a little more vulnerable, if that's the right word, than it has been in the past. Florida, as great as they have been, look at how young they are now. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, something like their entire roster has only 8 seniors and 7 juniors, something like that. I mean, they are a freshman and sophomore-dominated team. I think Tennessee has had some significant issues, and there is, if perhaps from the outside looking in, a cohesiveness question there, though I do love what David Cutcliffe has done with the offense, and they do have a senior quarterback, but look at the way they struggled to run the football a year ago. Georgia came on at the end of the year, and if Matthew Stafford is indeed the real deal, obviously they're in good shape, but they have had a number of question marks as well. And while Kentucky and Vanderbilt are better, I'm not sure there either are yet to be threats to win the division title. So with all that said, South Carolina, which has been within a whisker of beating all those other teams if they haven't already beat them, you know, in terms of what's happened the last time they went between the hedges, and look at the way it took 2 blocked field goals and a blocked extra point at the Swamp for the national championship Gators to beat them last year. I think the head ball coach thinks this is as good a year as any, not just because of his team, but because of the rest of the division.
It was just, I guess, sort of refreshing to see him back in that kind of mode. And again, it had a big influence on me. You mentioned a couple other teams in the East. One I wanted to bring up is the Kentucky Wildcats, because really for the first time, maybe since when Tim Couch was there, Kentucky football mattered at Media Days. And Rich Brooks was praising about his team. He actually got some attention. Andre Woodson was there. He's feeling good about this team. And I guess it'd be hard-pressed to find a team in college football with really better skill players than Kentucky has right now. What's your feeling about the Wildcats right now? If they don't challenge the SEC East, I mean, they're going to have a pretty good year.
Well, I think they're very dangerous. I think they may have the best passing game in the SEC, and Andre Woodson, a big reason why. I think he's a tremendous quarterback, and if Raphael Little is indeed healthy once again, they've got one of the most underrated running backs in the conference as well. So Kentucky could well have the team that offensively at least will be able to play with anyone in this conference or any other. I think their big question and what may keep them from ultimately being a division winner kind of team is their defense. But they are nobody's homecoming game anymore. And I don't think it was any fluke at all that they were able to win their bowl game against Clemson and do what they did a year ago. And has any team turned things around or at least cooled off a coach's seat more than the Kentucky Wildcats?
Who knew that Kentucky football mattered? But it's nice to see every now and then.
We're talking about Paul... for the conference.
I do too. We're talking to Paul Crane. We're talking college football here on Count Pointer Count. And let's bring up Florida as well. You brought the Gators up. Man, we're talking SEC East. The fact that Urban Meyer realizes that he's got a lot of players on his team that didn't see a whole lot of action last year yet received national championship rings. This is a young Florida team, but and a talented Florida team as well.
Oh, no question. Tim Tebow, I think, is obviously the first question mark. Now a sophomore, he did such a nice job as a true freshman a year ago, but they were all situational circumstances for him. He ran the ball more than he passed, but he certainly showed the ability to throw the ball. What's it going to be like with him under center from the first play of the game, and how is he going to carry himself? They also have questions at running back. Remember, true freshman Percy Harpin had to come from what's a more natural wide receiver position to play running back quite a bit last year. They have not had a lot of production from that position. They think they're in better shape now, but again, a lot of inexperienced, mostly unproven players. If they are able to get the production they need at tailback, Bubba Caldwell is back at wide receiver for his senior year. I think that's going to be a huge advantage for them. He is going to be such a key member of that offense. If Tebow's able to stretch the field, we already know he can run the ball well. And if Percy Harvin is able to come out of the slot and line up in a number of different positions, take advantage of all the different ways they can put the ball in his hands, I think they'll once again be very dangerous. But look at all that they lost on defense. Reggie Nelson, I think they're probably going to miss more than any other player. What a huge playmaker he was. They've lost virtually everyone at all levels of that defense. And I just think it's going to be a growing pain year for them, and the SEC is just too tough to learn on the job, I believe. However, those recruiting classes of Urban Meyer on the heels of what kind of talent was already there obviously will come into play this year. If they live up to snuff, maybe they will compete for the division title. And if it's not this year, they're probably only a year or so away from being right back in the national championship picture again. But this year, I think, is a little murky at this point.
Well, again, I picked South Carolina to win in the East. According to the media poll, our experts, I guess, Florida is the pick to win the Eastern Division in the media poll. Out West, LSU is picked to win the Western Division and overwhelmingly to be the SEC champion. Let's talk about those LSU Tigers, Paul, because let's just say Les Miles had a pretty good or had a very vocal summer, I guess. He did kind of give the Alabama fans a little bit of an apology for what he said about Alabama and Coach Saban at Media Days. But LSU, talented team. They're looking in the national championship picture as well. Will they be partying in Baton Rouge at the end of the year?
Well, I think there are always parties in Baton Rouge, as you know, but I think there's no question as we look at it before we kick off the first game, everyone would think that LSU indeed has more talent than any other team. I would say they probably had more talent than any other team in the conference a year ago as well, but they've got to go out and win the games. And look, as great, as dominant as Florida was in the national championship game, not even Florida was able to win all its games in the SEC. And that's the big question. The thing that plays into LSU's favor this year is their most significant games are all at home. But they're going to get tested pretty much right out of the gate. So when you're talking about the national championship picture, it won't factor into the SEC. But in week two, they host Virginia Tech out of the ACC. So they're going to know, kind of learn their national championship fate pretty early, and then they still have to go play the SEC schedule. Again, their biggest games are at home, so that really helps them. But they also have a new quarterback with Jamarcus Russell gone with the number one pick in the draft. Matt Flynn now takes over, and while he was fabulous in that Peach Bowl game that he played 2 years ago again when Jamarcus was hurt, remember, in the SEC, throughout the length of the regular season schedule, he is not going to be going up against a team like Miami, which did not want to be in a game like the Peach Bowl that year. He's going to go up against talented teams out to get his team. So how will he handle that on a week-in, week-out basis? We know he's got talent. He's waited 4 years for this opportunity, but he is clearly going to have to lead this team to where it goes.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time to talk about SEC football, but Paul's going to hang out with us. And we're going to be talking Big 12 and ACC football on down the line. Coming up next, J-Dub with the racing report. We'll hear what happened at the Brickyard when we come back. The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-722-9020. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-722-9020. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-722-9020. 1-800-722-9020.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's time for the OSG Pit Stop with Brother J-Dub.
Boys, let's go racing!
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop?
No pit stop-o. Comprendo?
Okay.
I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out, and then that little hole, you just put a little hole around there, just like Bobby Unser said, just like it go boom, boom, just like that.
It's the pace car! What for? Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing sun is racing.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo! Shake and bake!
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, Brother J-Dub.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into another OSG Pit Stop here on Count Pointer Count, OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network. I am Brother J-Dub. We've got a lot to talk about, but first let's take it down to the Brickyard, where Tony Stewart won his second race in as many races. Here are your highlights, courtesy of ESPN.
And once again, with the help of that guy right there, Zippy, Greg Zippinelli, Tony Stewart will come down here in 2007 and take the win in the All-State 400. Tony Stewart wins it. And he's going now, folks. Here goes Tony Stewart. Now he's taking the whole crew with him. I tell you what, when that guy does that, it scares me. I just don't want him to fall off that thing. Joe Gibbs Racing Team, Home Depot Chevrolet for Tony Stewart. Now a two-time All-State 400 winner.
And he does it again, and I don't mean winning. I mean getting up and down there safely. Let you get a little drink of water here. I noticed, as we get the checkered flag, Tony, they haven't done any modifications for you up there. It looked as tough as it's always been to climb that dude.
Yeah, it is. I mean, try it once. You'll see. You commentators are getting real good about talking about it, but I haven't seen one of you do it yet.
Talk to me about racing the race car the way you did today. It was good most of the day, but there was a time when you didn't have the lead, and we wondered, could he get it back?
We were about the only guy that could stay with anybody that was leading. This thing was pretty good in traffic there all day, and I just went down into one on the restart and got really, really tight for some reason, and Kevin got by us, and then once we got going again, we could stay right with him, and I knew after about 15 laps we could get a run on him again, so I was just trying to be patient and got a good run on him off of one there and got by, so that's a hard guy to race with. I mean, he's a clean guy. I mean, he's one of my best friends, and I can't think of another guy I'd want to race for the lead.
He gave you a little shot after that, and then he gave you another nice donut on the side after the race.
Yeah, but keep in mind, he's the same guy that put the donut all the way down the side when I won in his first Busch car, so he's a good guy. I mean, that's the two guys I had to race to win these 2 years are guys that are good friends of mine. That's the way I want it to be.
On Saturday, Jason Leffler's second career NASCAR Busch Series victory was much more memorable than his first. Leffler took the lead from Greg Biffle with two laps to go in the Kroger 200 on Saturday night and raced to his first Busch win in 3 years, and Toyota's first victory ever in the series. Biffle led in lap 191 before a caution brought the field together at O'Reilly Raceway Park. Leffler took the lead in lap 197, then jockeyed with Biffle for a while before finishing strong. Leffler said he expected one of the other Toyota drivers, including David Roedemann, Mike Bliss, and Dave Blaney, to eventually win. Roedemann finished third, and Bliss placed ninth. now that the Dale Earnhardt Incorporated has completed the merger with Ginn Racing to become a four-car Nextel Cup organization, finding the replacement for Dale Earnhardt Jr. is now becoming their top priority. Max Siegel, the president of global operations at DEI, said the team remains hopeful in signing Kyle Busch. Busch became the top free agent in the market when it was announced 2 months ago that Earnhardt would replace him at Hendrick Motorsports next season. Joe Gibbs Racing, Chip Ganassi Racing, Evernham Motorsports, and Richard Childress Racing are also in the mix, with DEI believed to be the strong contender. Speaking of losing Dale Earnhardt Jr., Budweiser may also find a new home. Dodge Motorsports may be willing to give up its logo on the hood of Casey Kane's Nextel Cup car if a deal can be finalized with Budweiser. Kane is Budweiser's top choice to replace Little Lee, who recently announced he wouldn't be keeping the beer company as his primary sponsor. One of the obstacles standing in the way was Dodge Motorsports, which would have to put aside its long-term deal to be on the hood of Kane's car. Team owner Ray Evernham, who has been negotiating with Budweiser, said the deal would help alleviate some of the financial strain on Dodge. Evernham added he has several other options for Kane's sponsor. More stuff going on with Evernham. Erin Crocker still believes she can make a difference as a female driver in NASCAR and make a name for herself in a sport dominated by men. She also believes the best way to do that is to leave Evernham Motorsports, where she has gotten more publicity for her personal relationship with team owner Ray Evernham than with her driving. She said, quote, "At this point, I want to earn that credibility back. I want to earn some more respect and go off on my own and do what I came here to do," end quote. Her comments came a day after Evernham said that their relationship hurt Crocker's career because of the negative publicity that surrounded them much of last season. NASCAR is in the developmental process of building a COT car for the Busch Series. Nextel Cup Series director John Darby said that there is no timetable on when the car may be put on the track, but said that the arrival is inevitable. Darby said the COT car makes much more sense for Busch than the Cup Series from a pure financial situation, because more teams likely would take advantage of having to build fewer cars as the COT program allows. On to Formula One now. Scott Speed, the only American driver in F1 racing, was dropped by the Toro Rosso team Tuesday and replaced by Germany's Sebastian Vettel. Speed and fellow Toro Rosso driver Vitantonio Luisi are among seven drivers this year without a single point after the first 10 of the season's 17 races. The 24-year-old Speed from Manteca, California, has failed to score a point by finishing in the top eight of any race in his two seasons in F1. F1 has proved a tough challenge for American drivers in recent times, since 1978, when Mario Andretti joined Phil Hill as the only American F1 champions, only a handful of drivers from the U.S. have found a seat in Formula One. That wraps up another OSG Pit Stop. We've got the tires on, we've got the fuel in, and we've got the windshield clean. It's time to take off back on that track and stay on the lead lap. Coming up next on the program, we've got Tommy Palmer joined by Jeff Lynn and the Electric Light Orchestra. You're listening to Count Corner Count on OSG Sports Radio, the World Internet Radio Network, and Podomatic.com.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-909-4432. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-909-4432. That's 1-800-909-4432.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio. The Atlanta Braves traded away more of their future. Jared Saltamalacia now joins the list of several other former Braves players who've been sacrificed for the present. I hope this deal works better than the last one the Braves made when they gave away McKay McBride for the now departed Wilfredo Ledesma from Detroit. In reality, it's a trade that will benefit Salty more than anyone. He will now become an outstanding catcher for the Rangers, and he won't have to wait every fifth day or be shuffled over to first base just to crack the lineup. The trade for Mark Teixeira from Texas also signals the beginning of one of the most potent lineup the Braves have ever had. Teixeira will also compensate for the expected loss of Andruw Jones next year if the Braves can afford the arbitration price at the end of the year. The left-handed reliever, Ron Mahay, can only help a bullpen which is reeling right now. The latest trade is painful but necessary. For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
Tommy Palmer, whom we've paired with the Electric Light Orchestra, Jeff Lynne and the never-changing perm, and Tommy and the never-changing attitudes towards sports. That is it for the E. When we come back for F Troop, it is Paul Crane and John Wilkerson, part deux. St. John and St. Paul tackle anything but the state of Minnesota. It's more football with two more guys. When OSG Sports Radio Camp Point Account rolls on after this.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
But what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-231-7911 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-231-7911. 1-800-231-7911.
As long as they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F-Troop!
Welcome to the F-Troop. John Wilkerson here with you. We continue our college football talk with Paul Crane from Cox Cable Television, Versus Network, FSN South. He gets a lot of paychecks. And Paul, you were at the Big 12 Media Days in San Antonio, Texas. And earlier, or about 2 weeks ago, we had Barry Trammell on from the Daily Oklahoman talking about Oklahoma's penalties from the NCAA. Was that a big deal in San Antonio?
Well, not from my perspective. I think Oklahoma certainly has to deal with it, but I think everyone's well aware of the situation. You know, two players, an offensive lineman and a starting quarterback a year ago, were found to have been getting paid for a job they weren't showing up for. And as soon as Coach Stoops found that out, he kicked them both off the team. And I don't know what else Oklahoma could have done. It's not like this was a school trying to pull a fast one. And I think the sanctions they got from the NCAA were a little harsh, quite frankly, but at the same time, they have to deal with it, and they have a quarterback competition now, and I think there was discussion with Coach Stoops about his quarterback situation, comparing it to a year ago, but not so much hammering him because of what happened, because I don't think anyone thinks it was his fault. So in comparisons to a year ago when they lost Rhett Bomar right before the start of two-a-days and had to get Paul Thompson back from having moved to wide receiver and throw him into quarterback just to get through the season, and now with Thompson graduating, they've got a three-way competition, and Coach Stoops is simply going to let this thing play itself out, and he'll select someone to be the starting quarterback before opening day and take it from there.
In the Big 12 preseason football media poll, Texas is picked to win the South. Missouri is picked to win the North. First of all, Paul, did you vote in that poll? I'd be curious what your vote was, and do you agree with Texas and Missouri meeting in the championship game?
I did not vote in the poll. Again, I've kind of got my hands in every conference. Well, but I don't disagree. I'll say this. I like Texas as well. If I had voted, I probably would have voted for them. I think Colt McCoy, once he got his feet under him a year ago, I think people can't realize how difficult it is for a redshirt freshman to step into a situation where a team had just won the national championship and to play that position, which is tough enough, but to replace a guy like Vince Young and in week two to play a team like Ohio State, which made it to the national championship game, that's a tall order.
But once he got past that week two game with the Buckeyes, Colt McCoy looked pretty good. The other games that Texas lost were not really because of him. So I like the way he plays the position. I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to have a heck of a battle in the Big 12 South, which, by the way, I think is the closest thing to an SEC division as there is in college football, because if you had Texas A&M, a much improved Oklahoma State team, and that wide-open wild Texas Tech team, the next unit, five legitimate top 25 teams there. And on the north side, I like Missouri because of their quarterback, Chase Daniel. Gary Pinkle plays a wide-open spread offense as well. They've got two of the best tight ends in college football and will utilize them in a way that I think are going to cause tremendous matchup problems for people. But don't count out Nebraska. I think Big Red, Bill Callahan, has them back in a major way. He has a quarterback in Sam Keller, the transfer from Arizona State, set to lead the offense, but Keller has not been named the starter yet. He, too, is in a competition. So I think you've got a solid competitive situation in the North, a really good one in the South, and I think it's going to be a very interesting year in the Big 12.
Pardon my sarcasm about the Big 12 North, but and everybody knows I grew up with Arkansas football, but I also grew up with Missouri football, and the Tigers have disappointed me so many times in my lifetime on the football
field. Sure, but this is not then. This is now. And, again, I would you'd be hard-pressed to find a more talented quarterback than Chase Daniel. And like I said, you take a look at some of the other players he has around him, those guys are going to score some points. As a matter of fact, I believe, and this is going off the top of my head, they had the seventh highest scoring offense in the nation a year ago. And, I think, again, it's going to come down to their defense, but they're a pretty good team and certainly one to be reckoned with and unquestionably good enough to win that division.
All I say to that is Mizzou Raw. All right, let's move on to the ACC. You've been to ACC Media Days in the past, and, I guess the best word to describe it, it's really a big party. You get to mingle with the coaches, and it was a lot of fun this year at Pinehurst. You got to play number 8, Paul, so I hope you're not jealous.
I'm very jealous. I'm not be jealous.
Hey, our team finished 1 under out of the money, but we had a good time. Now, I voted Virginia Tech to win the Coastal and Boston College to win the Atlantic. Florida State was the pick when all the votes were counted. Virginia Tech is an overwhelming favorite, not only the Coastal, but to win the league again. And, Paul, Frank Beamer had the line of the week when we asked him about his team. And he goes, "We have the distinction this year to be playing in two Death Valleys, LSU and Clemson," which I thought was pretty good.
Right.
But the more I look at Virginia Tech and study them, this is a team that's really flying under the radar and really could challenge for the BCS title game if everything falls right for them.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I don't think there is a team in America who is more important to its campus coming into this season than the Hokies of Virginia Tech after the tragedy that had happened there last spring. They are a very important lightning rod to root for. The fact that they have the talent to deliver the goods on that as well makes them, I think, even more dangerous. And they are going to be tested on the road very early in the season when they go to LSU, one of the two Death Valleys you mentioned that they have to play. I think so much of what's going to happen to them depends on their quarterback position as well. Sean Glennon really struggled during the backside of last year and the trap door opened. I mean, his wheels came off against Georgia in the second half of that Chick-fil-A Bowl. If they can rebound from that, they certainly have significant talent, the wide receiver position, and Eddie Royal leading a very good, solid upper-class group. Brandon Orr is a first-team all-ACC running back. Of course, their defense with Xavier Adibi and Vince Hall, a couple of great linebackers, they're always just so good. And the special teams are as good as it gets in college football. So they have all the elements, and I do agree with you. I think they're certainly Coastal Division favorites and certainly a team capable of being in the national championship picture all season long, especially if they get that win, if they find a way to win at LSU.
We're talking with Paul Crane. We got about 3.5 minutes left, Paul. And the other big observation I made at Pinehurst, on ACC Media Days, it's very casual. The coaches come in with their team-issued golf shirts and slacks. And All except Butch Davis, who showed up in a blue suit and a Carolina blue tie, which told me that they mean business in Chapel Hill, and I don't want to play this North Carolina team come October and November, because I think once they get used to Butch and come together, that team, 6 wins in a bowl is very likely.
Well, I think they're going to be much better. Excuse me, they're going to be very tough to play. I think that whether he's got the horses to compete in a conference that I think is significantly better remains to be seen, but there's no question that team is going to be tough to play. He's going to toughen them up significantly.
Now, in the Atlantic Division, Boston College, to me, looks to be perhaps the most complete team in the ACC, and I say that because, really, they've got the best returning quarterback in Matt Ryan. 3-year starter, Coach Jags was very impressed with him, spoke highly of him at Pinehurst. It's going to be an interesting race between Florida State and Boston College in the Atlantic, I feel. And don't count out Wake Forest either.
Well, I think you're right on several counts. I think there's still a lot of questions about Boston College, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, they've got Matt Ryan, who I think just about every team in the conference would love to have a quarterback like that. And they've got experienced running backs returning as well, and they have typically, historically, had one of the best offensive lines in college football. But I think while Jim Grobe has done an unbelievable job at Wake Forest, I'll be very interested to see if they can repeat. However, Florida State, this is a very, very much, I think, a turning point year for them. Unprecedented off-season change for Bobby Bowden's coaching staff. 5 new coaches. This for a guy who went 20 years without making 5 coaching changes. 4 of them on the offensive side of the ball, none more significant than Jimbo Fisher coming in as offensive coordinator from LSU. And let me say, really, right there is 1A in terms of significance to Florida State. Rick Trickett coming from West Virginia, regarded as perhaps the finest offensive line coach in America. I don't think Florida State's going to struggle to run the football anymore the way they have the last couple of years. I do think Anton Smith could become a star under the offensive situation if they can settle with quarterback between Xavier Lee and Drew Weatherford. It looks like Weatherford has the lead. He certainly has the most experience. They have the athletes to get it done, and Florida State could be back. Obviously, they're banking more than just money on that in terms of the sand is starting to come out of the Bowden hourglass, and the time is now.
Paul, we could talk college football all day, but unfortunately we're out of time.
But I appreciate the opportunity. Please let me just say that on the Versus Network, our countdown to college football is on August the 18th, and then on Versus and other regional sports networks around the country, so please check your local listings.
I will be tuned in and watching. Paul, once again, thanks for joining us. We got more coming up on Count Pointer Count. It's the Kitchen Sink Stewart's Sink. Coming up next, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if there is a way to lower your mortgage payment by up to 50%, would you want to know about it? Of course you would. Here's the secret. Quicken Loans. That's right. Quicken Loans with their new exclusive Secure Advantage loan. Write this number down. 800-980-4933. Secure Advantage allows you to choose the payment you want every month. You can pay more if you want, or make a minimum payment that's around 50% less than what you're paying right now. That could free up all kinds of cash. Plus, with Secure Advantage, you can lock in a rate that's fixed for years. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-980-4933. Give them 5 minutes, and you could cut your payment up to 50% and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can get approved right over the phone, and Quicken Loans never has prepayment penalties. So call right now at 800-980-4933 and get the Secure Advantage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-980-4933.
Now back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
G-Block now, Kitchen Stink, Stewart Sink. I'm getting better.
Yeah, might even have it down by the end of the month.
Okay, the bigger issues, we know we're ignoring a lot of them. We'll just kind of brush through them real quick. The Donaghy investigation, is he Lee Harvey Oswald, yes or no?
Lewis!
is pregnant. I didn't think the fat man still had that kind of marksmanship. But that's what they said about Lee Harvey Oswald. Hey, Mr. President! Mr. President, up here! I voted for you! Wait a minute. That guy on the grassy knoll's got a gun! He's gonna shoot the president! Holy smokes, I've gotta do something! All right, Lee, time to become an American hero.
I don't think so. I think if there were more to it than just him, it probably would have already come out. But at the same time, I think it's the NBA's in like major, major damage control right now.
David Stern's in complete and total denial.
No kidding. I think he acted alone. I just don't see how any of the officials would be stooped that low, and because I don't think they were in that kind of debt.
Yeah, and if they were in debt, it would be to Vegas, and Vegas would report it, whereas the mob does not.
Right.
The funniest part, I think, of the whole thing to me, at least the part I find humor in, is that
other than all of it,
is that one of our friends of the OSG, John Kincaid of 680 The Fan,
yeah,
went to school with Donahue. Yeah. And most of the people involved with this. Yeah.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
So I guess what means that Kincaid is now linked to it as well. Hall of Fame, Tony Gwynn, Cal Ripken Jr. in.
That's awesome to me. You're talking about two lifers who are the identity of those franchises and really were the good guys in a sport that right now is searching for some good guys.
Well-warranted, well-earned, though Tony Gwynn has achieved maximum density since he's retired.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
As a personal aside.
That happens when he coached San Diego State baseball. Clothing.
But Ripken looks like he could go step out there today and play.
Yeah, he'd rather own teams and turn into monopolies.
And these are two guys who set an example that I wish would be followed by the rest of the league. They're class acts. In and out of the stadium, on and off the field.
And, you know, Tony Gwynn was quite a basketball player, too, at San Diego State. He was a starting point guard for that team.
So you're saying the only hops he has now are in the beer he drinks?
Exactly.
The Tour de France started without Basso and Ulrich.
Ended up, Tour de Doping?
Yes, ended without Alexander Vinokourov and Michael Rasmussen. Does anybody care?
No. It vaguely resembled an IRL race where you had a whole lot less people finishing than you did starting, and there weren't a whole lot starting.
It's cycling. Come on.
The great schism. They should just
have... The only good thing about Tour de France is Phil Liggett.
And Paul Sherwin.
Paul Sherwin, yeah.
Barbaric.
Barbaric!
Now, to the rest of the stink. If you're in Detroit, don't anger a women's football player.
Ooh! Hold him down, baby! Let mama have him!
I wouldn't anger a woman's football player anywhere else either.
The Detroit Demolition prepared for their Western Conference Finals.
No. Ooh, not in the city.
Against the Sacramento Sirens, and while they were at practice, two of the players' cars were missing. April Folks ended up finding the cars and made a citizen's arrest. April Folks is 5'9 and 300 pounds.
How did she catch him?
She pinned him in.
Tight end?
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Offensive guard.
God, don't go there.
Couldn't happen.
Never mind.
In the couldn't happen to a nicer guy category, Robert John Bardo suffered 11 stab and puncture wounds Friday at Mule Creek State Prison. The guy who murdered Rebecca Schaefer and started the stalking laws in California.
Karma's a bitch, ain't it?
Hopefully they got some vital organs.
If they take my stapler, then I'll have to set the building on fire.
And let's see, it was certainly an accident. Emil Brown shot a plastic pellet gun, and he didn't mean to hit KNBC sports reporter Karen Karnacki in the face, but he did. David Holtzman, Royal spokesman, it was certainly an accident. He wasn't shooting at anybody.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
That's why kids shouldn't play with BB guns.
That just sums up the Kansas City Royals right there.
There was a man in Northumberland, UK, arrested for tackling a giant sausage. A man was charged with criminal damage after rugby tackling a giant hot dog worth about 400 pounds.
Please, Wilkie, you handle this
one. The 6-foot glass fiber hot dog was part of a burger van's display. Concert goers reported seeing the sausage character with its arm broken off.
Thank God he didn't tackle his own.
Yes. In violation of the NCAA ban, Arkansas State has decided to drop their Indian mascot.
It's a sad day in Jonesboro. Any suggestions, guys?
Many tears were shed.
What were the ones that were thought about to Arkansas Tech? Wonder Boys?
Well, that's their old nickname. But
maybe they can go to Wonder Boys.
Cobras. Yeah, right. The Arkansas State Wonder Boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a, I guess it's better than the Wonder Bras.
Yes, or the Wonder Breads. Let's see. Boise State running back Ian Johnson has received phone calls, letters, and some personal threats from people who object to the marriage plans of head cheerleader Chrissy Papadix.
Them some strange people up there in Boise.
Get over
and
yourselves.
And he proposed in front of 40 million people.
Yeah, what was she going to say? No.
And Chris Myers.
Yeah, you forget him.
Easily done. A man is jailed for impersonating a Steeler. Brian Jackson, 33, of Brentwood, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to one count of theft by deception, one count of identity theft. 90 days in jail, placed on probation for 5 years for pretending to be tied in Jeremy Tooman, this 2 years after he was charged with impersonating Ben Roethlisberger and his backup, Brian St. Pierre, to meet women.
To piss off all the Steeler fans out there, there have been many Steelers who've been accused of impersonating Steelers as well.
Oh, you're just going to let that one go?
I'm not a Steeler fan.
Let's see. Ray Mellick's column in the Birmingham News. In his 7 months at Alabama, Nick Saban's name has turned up more than any other coach in school's allegations of secondary NCAA rules violations, an official with knowledge of the infractions process says.
Oh, imagine Saban being dishonest.
Hey, guys, I came down to the lobby of the Winfrey Hotel at 7 a.m., and every Alabama fan, I think, in the state was there waiting for Saban.
Jesus has arrived.
Jesus had arrived, and I got caught in that crush.
Here's my question: Are they going to all be there when he goes 1-2 out of the blocks?
I imagine the phones will light up on your favorite radio show, Paul Feinbaum's.
Who's that?
Who the hell is Paul Feinbaum? That's barbaric. Next week on the show, in the pregame, we will have an interview covering Michael Vick Animal Awareness Day from the folks at the Long Beach Armada.
That's just a great story. You got to read this.
Read it.
Reminiscent of the infamous disco demolition 25 years ago, the Armada will destroy all Michael Vick jerseys in protest to inhumane treatment of animals. They can't set them on fire, though, because I think the fire marshal drew the ire of folks. Any fan who trades in a Michael Vick t-shirt or jersey at the box office will receive free admission to the game, and a donation in their name will be made to Justin Rudd's community action team.
The Armada has just become my favorite baseball team.
Well, they kind of already were due to the fact that they...
The longest name known to man.
The longest introductory name in the history of any
civilization.
Kimberly Williams' June 2007 penthouse pet has been officially weirded out by Marcus Allen. She was creeped out by the fact that he has a MySpace page filled with his girlfriends thanking him for, quote, lunch, end quote. And also creeped out that Allen is a regular at the Playboy Mansion. They were talking on the phone for a couple of weeks, but then she's just kind of... gotten a bunch of text messages, and it's like, he's a weirdo, don't talk to me.
Do you just see Marcus Allen with Colt 45 checking out the ladies?
Marcus D. Williams.
Now, what was it that the dearly departed Nicole Brown Simpson, she had a fondness for Marcus, I believe?
Yeah, because apparently he was very well endowed.
He probably, hopefully, still is well endowed for his own sake. What's this about Randy Shannon taking off the names of the players at the University of Miami?
He's trying to get that whole team concept, and there'll be no names on the back of the Miami jerseys after the whole deal with Larry Coker the last few years.
He's certainly not the first coach and won't be the last one to use that as a motivational tool.
Yeah, Dennis Franchione did it at Texas A&M.
Yeah, when Paul Hewitt did it to the Georgia Tech basketball team last year. It's just to get the guys to believe in the whole concept of team, not me.
Bren Cameron is not happy with getting $6,000 a month in child support. She wants $30,000 a month. If you don't know who Bren Cameron is, perhaps if we said that the father of her child is Matt Leinart, then that might draw the conclusions as to who this woman is. She's not happy with $72,000 a year. She wants $360,000 a year.
Well, she's not married to the guy. She's not entitled to anything.
Don't you just love how the married guy speaks up with kid and he knows how things roll? Carolina Hurricane star Eric Stahl and his brother Jordan Stahl were arrested for misdemeanor disorderly conduct and obstructing the legal process at Eric Stahl's bachelor party. The brothers were among 14 arrested after authorities received several complaints about screaming, yelling, and playing loud music. They began harassing motorists on a nearby highway, and that's when authorities arrested the group around 4 a.m.
Those darn Germans.
Oh, to be young and drunk.
Damned hockey players. UCLA assistant football coach Eric Scott and two other men were out on bail after being arrested on suspicion of residential burglary. Where was the background check?
Apparently it didn't happen.
It's UCLA.
From what I read on that story, there was a company that's supposed to have done their background checks for them who No,
let's drop the ball?
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for.
UCLA's good at that.
Ba-da-ba.
Hey, that's how it goes in the Pac-10. Apparently, the Big Ten wants to be the Big 12.
Big 12B.
Yes. But, you know, how
but
can they?
The name's already taken.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Jim Delaney wants to expand from 11 to 12.
Because they got to do something with that Big Ten network.
Because no one's watching it.
And the team I heard that might be that 12th member is Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Makes a little sense.
Yeah, logistically it makes some sense, I suppose. Some way. I mean, Penn State's in there, so why not? Yeah.
Item last, unless you guys have anything to bring to the table. Deion Sanders does a weekly spleen venting in the Fort Myers News Press. Last week, July 22nd, his column had to do with seven. What a surprise. And he was wondering why this was turning into a three-ring circus, the entire investigation. He goes, quote, "The reason this is turning into a three-ring circus is that baseball is boring, basketball is months away, football is around the corner, and we in the media don't have a thing interesting to write about."
Oh, and there's more. The latest update on this that I read today?
Yes.
Apparently the NFL has told the newspaper that Mr. Sanders is not permitted.
I heard that.
To give a response to clarify his statement or what he meant.
He had one posy. He had one done and printed,
right.
But the NFL Network said, "You're not publishing it."
And he knows where his bread's buttered.
I guess so.
The Austin Wranglers.
Yeah, exactly.
I find it hard to believe that the Fort Myers newspaper would not print it had they got it submitted to them.
And I find it even harder to believe that the Fort Myers News Press, part of the Gannett Corporation, has decided to publish the sports editor's retort calling out the NFL and the NFL Network, saying this is where it normally would appear, but the NFL said, "You're not running it."
Good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think the Gannett Corporation is going to think about that?
They're probably not too happy.
It's good journalism.
Oh, I know it's good journalism, but what do you think about any attempts for the Fort Myers News Press to go after credentials for any games in South Florida?
Don't see it happening.
It'll be a little bit more difficult, but that's the NFL being the NFL, and they're a totalitarian regime as it is.
Oh, what about your new sweater vests this year?
Well, that remains to be seen whether that'll actually happen or not. But, yeah, apparently the league has, under the table, issued a mandate that they will provide vests for photojournalists who are covering their games, and those vests will have sponsor names on them. Not necessarily
Chico's Bail Bonds?
Something of that sort. Sponsors that they have chosen who apparently have, for some idiotic reason, have paid money to have their names put on said vests.
Well, you know, at least you could be a yellow jacket and it would say security. That doesn't have
staff.
Sponsor. Yeah, staffs. Doesn't have sponsor name on it.
Yeah. Put them on the event staff, people. I got no problem with that.
So you have your Budweiser vest?
Actually, I think it's Reebok.
Reebok
and
Cannon.
Cannon?
Right?
Yeah. The official sponsor of your photographic sweater vest for the NFL.
I mean, it's not like people are going to be sitting there staring at the photographers and the vest they're wearing and buy the product because they see their names on them.
Ooh, can I get that Cannon in an orange?
Yeah, but at the same time, it presents an issue to journalists who are supposedly, and I know there's a lot of people out there that say that they're all journalists are biased, and that's a lot less true than you would think.
Why don't you wear a Minolta hat with it?
I was thinking about doing that, at the very least Nikon.
There you go.
Or Nikon.
And I'll make sure to I'll wear my Nike hat, my Nike shoes.
Nice.
And a Nike t-shirt.
There you go.
Put that swoosh out there.
Yeah.
We can just see the NFL making you change your shoes.
You can't wear that hat out here.
Excuse me, yes I can. It's my hat.
Yeah. Gotta go barefooted and shoot a game.
All right.
Unless Reebok wants to supply me with sneakers.
There you go.
There you go. Anything else?
No, that ought to do it.
Anything else?
I got nothing.
Last thing, really quick. Those of us here in the news business, we suffered a big loss out in Phoenix last week. Thoughts and prayers to everybody at KTVK Channel 3 and ABC 15 out in Phoenix for the loss of Jim Cox, Scott Bauerbank, Ricky Krolak, and Craig Smith. Go to azfamily.com and abc15.com to check out memorial funds and things like that, because stuff like that really sucks.
Yeah. Not really much more you can say.
And couple that with Skip Prosser. It's just really been a down week.
And that tags right into what Brian's going to be talking about in the cell. Brian is going to talk about how sucky a week this has been and our own little tribute to Skip Prosser in the cell in the H-block.
And not a good week to be a commissioner in any major sport.
No, and that's another topic for another day. When OSG Sports Radio and Count Porter Count rolls on after this. See you next week.
To own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 866-697-5821. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 866-697-5821 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 866-697-5821. That's 866-697-5821.
It's On the Soapbox with Brian Eaves on Count Pointer Count.
Thanks, Mike. It's your resident prisoner in cell block H, Brian Eaves, and we look back at the week that was on the soapbox. To my knowledge, this has been one of the worst black eye weeks for sports that I can ever remember. Consider all the negatives that have occurred in the last 7 days. We've had the whole Michael Vick and the dog pound, in which for now, Vick has maintained his innocence. Former Durham District Attorney Mike Nifong has now admitted that there was no credible evidence that the Duke lacrosse players committed a crime in March of 2006. Barry Bonds is inching ever so closer to that hallowed home run record, much to the chagrin of many, including this observer. The NBA is now reeling with the after effects of the Tim Donaghy gambling scandal. We found out that the Army lied about the details of Pat Tillman's death in 2004 while he was serving in Afghanistan. And lastly, late last week, we lost not only a great coach, but a better man when Wake Forest head coach Skip Prosser collapsed after a jog and passed away at the age of 56. But finally, on Sunday, we had something to celebrate in sports. No lying, no cheating, no death, and no drugs. Two men honored for their lives as professional athletes with a huge emphasis on the word professional. Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn entered their names into baseball's Hall of Fame roll call Sunday afternoon, and they were not only cheered for their respective records on the field, but off the field as well. Ripken and Gwynn spent their entire careers with the same teams, of course you know Baltimore and San Diego respectively, and played the game with integrity, class, determination, and honor, never forgetting those around them that helped make them better people and players. Ripken in his speech said, "Whether you like it or not, as big leaguers, we are role models. The only question is, will it be positive or negative?" Gwynn stated, "I think the fans felt comfortable enough in us, they could trust us in how we played the game, especially in this era of negativity. When you sign your name on the dotted line, it's more than just playing the game of baseball. You've got to be responsible and make decisions and show people how things are supposed to be done." Cal and Tony, after the week the sports world has been through, just two words: thank you. And that wraps up Count Pointer Count for this week. I'm Brian Eaves. From all of us here at OSG, we hope you have a wonderful week. As we close this week, we honor Skip Prosser, Wake Forest basketball head coach who collapsed on a jog this week around campus and passed away at the age of 56.
Wake Forest basketball coach Skip Prosser once said, "Coaching isn't wins and losses, it's teaching. That's the reason I got into coaching and the reason I've stayed in coaching. It's the reason he'll be remembered as one of the classiest guys to walk the sideline." Prosser died this morning of an apparent heart attack shortly after jogging. He was 56 years old. George Edward Skip Prosser was on the verge of entering his seventh season as the head coach of Wake Forest. Since arriving on the Winston-Salem campus, Prosser re-energized the Wake Forest program, led it through one of its most successful stretches, becoming the third fastest coach to 100 conference wins in ACC history. averaging 21 wins per season at Wake. Prosser led the Demon Deacons to the NCAA tournament in each of his first four seasons, including a Sweet 16 berth for the first time since 1996. In 2004-2005, Wake won a school record 27 games. As a number two seed, Wake lost a 111-105 double overtime thriller to West Virginia, which turned out to be the final game for star guard Chris Paul, probably Wake's best NBA player since Tim Duncan. In 14 years as a college head coach, including stops at Xavier and Loyola of Maryland, Prosser's teams made the postseason 12 times. When asked about his victories, Prosser once said, quote, "I don't have a career record. The players won those games." Prosser and his players won almost 300 games in 14 years as a head coach, including leading Wake Forest to those 27 wins in the 04-05 season. Also the first coach in NCAA history to lead three different schools to the NCAA tournament. Skip Prosser survived by his wife Nancy and two sons.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.